Amen. Well, we got it figured out how to work it tonight. So that's a blessing, isn't it? And I'm glad to be here. Appreciate all you preachers coming. In fact, I appreciate all of you coming. And I was thinking, you know, a lot of camp meetings are falling off. And, you know, just kind of dwindling away. But you ought to thank God for what you've got here. Amen. You ought to take it for granted. I come here and preach, I don't know, 25 years ago. And the thing was packed out then and still about that way. That's a blessing, isn't it?
Amen.
Amen. And I praise the Lord for that. So I appreciate the Lord letting me be back again. Brother Kenneth, I appreciate you inviting me to come. Amen. And I hope you'll pray for me tonight. The Lord will help me to say what needs to be said tonight. I've got a friend of mine here tonight, and I want to just mention this before I read in Scripture tonight. He came all the way from Bulgaria. Stand up, Matt. All right, you can be seated. I want everybody to see him. Amen. A man come that far needs to be seen, ain't that right? But anyway, he's been in for 2 or 3 months, and he's going to go back to last of August, and this is his first time he's been in 7 years. And boy, they say that's home over there, you know. And they're doing a work for God. I'm telling you, they're getting on with it. And he has 10 different churches, and he has church every day. Every day has church. Got anywhere from 12 to 30 people in each church. And he's spending $1,000 a month for gas. Gas, $8 a gallon over there. And we complain here, but it could be worse here. Ain't that right? But I'd appreciate if you'd pray for him. Amen. Pray for his family. He's got a girl that's going to have her shoulder operated on. She got it hurt 4 years ago. And the 28th of this month, they're going to do surgery on it. Finally found out what's wrong with her. Boy, she suffered death with this, with her shoulder. So you pray the Lord just take care of that whole situation. Amen. Pray he'll heal her through the surgeons, amen. And everything will be all right. And so tonight, he's, like I said, he's staying up in Sugar Grove, Virginia. But he drove all the way down here just to be in the meeting tonight. And go back again tonight. And so some of y'all ought to stop by him tonight and shake hands with him, tell him you appreciate him coming. And leave a little money in his hand, amen. Wouldn't that be all right? Well, I mean, if you'll give it to me, I'll give it to him. How about that? Amen. I'm not trying to take over. I'm just saying it'd be good to help him. Amen. You can't do too much for God's people. Ain't that right? Last year, we've been sending 2,000. We've been raising money for the last several years to buy 2,000 bags of flour to help those. They got 2,000 families in their churches. And they try to get every family a bag of flour to help them get through the winter. And those bags of flour weighs 110 pounds, and they get a bottle of oil to go with that. And this last year it cost $47,000, and this year it cost $58,000. And the Lord took care of it. And him and his son delivered most of that flour. Ain't that something? Man, I'll tell you right now, that's a whole lot of flour. But anyway, there's people over there that don't have anything to eat but bread sometimes. And we have a whole lot, ain't that right? And so a few preachers would pray for him, and, you know, if you'd consider letting him come by before he goes back the last of August, I'd appreciate that. Amen. If I had a church, of course, I don't have one, but if I did have, I'd have him to be there because I've had him in churches I've pastored before. Amen. Amen. In fact, he's one of the best missionaries I know of, really. And so I'd highly recommend him to come to your church if you'd let him do that. Amen. Well, I ain't going to charge anything for that. I mean, that was free. Amen. Trying to promote my brother over there. Amen. And that's all right, isn't it?
Amen.
All right, open your Bible tonight to the book of John, to chapter number 8. John chapter number 8. John chapter number 8. And I begin reading the verse number 52. John chapter 8, verse 52. The Bible said, then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast the devil. Abraham is dead and the prophets. And thou sayest, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never taste of death. Boy, isn't that good? Are thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? when and the prophets are dead, whom makest thou thyself? And Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I have known him. And if I should say I know him not, I would be like, but I know him and keep his sayings. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 40 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? And he said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. You can be seated tonight, and I'll stop there, verse number 58. Amen. I want to preach tonight in these verses I've read. And the Bible said in verse 56, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. Your father Abraham. Now, this is the Pharisees here. And they're talking about knowing God, but they don't really know him. Amen. They just have religion, and they don't know the real, true God. And Jesus said unto them, your father Abraham, he rejoiced to see my day. And then he said he saw it and was glad. When he saw my day, he rejoiced and was glad. Amen. Amen. And tonight for a little while, I want to preach on this subject, on some fire, what they saw. What they saw. Now I'll look at different people in the Bible and talk about what they saw. And I want to mention a little bit about Abraham and come back to him after a while. And I promise you I won't try to keep you too long. But anyway, tonight, I'm glad for his day. I'm glad that Abraham saw his day. In fact, I think when Abraham was taking Isaac up that hill to kill him up there and offer him for a sacrifice, and Isaac said, Father, we got the wood and we got the fire, but where's the lamb for a sacrifice? And Abraham, I think maybe, Brother Kenneth, that's the first time that maybe he saw his day. And he said, Son, my God will provide himself a lamb. Amen. Amen. And so that may have been when Abraham saw his day the first time. And I guarantee you if it was, he did rejoice. Amen. Aren't you glad tonight for his day? Amen. Amen. If Abraham rejoiced because of that, and Abraham was glad because of that, and that was before Calvary, amen. That was before he ever died. Since we know he did die, and since we know he's alive tonight, we'll rejoice and be glad tonight because we're saved by the grace of God, washed in his blood, kept by his power, going to heaven one of these days, and the devil can't do anything about it, amen. I say thank God for his day, amen. Glory to God. Ain't that right? Say amen, I tell you. But I want to just mention right hurriedly. First of all, I want to talk about the shepherds and what they saw. Now, keep in mind tonight that I'm talking about what they saw. What they saw. Think about that. Now, the shepherds, what they saw, in fact, they're out there keeping their sheep or their flocks by night, and an angel come up there and appeared unto them and said, for you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And them shepherds said, let us go and see this thing that's come to pass. And when they went over there, they found that little boy wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger just like the shepherds had said. But what they looked at, what they gazed upon, was a Savior. Hallelujah. It's the first time and the only time that a Savior has ever been born in this world. Great God, they didn't just see a baby. They saw the Savior of the world when they looked at him in that little cow there in that stall. Amen. Ain't that right? Say amen, I'm sorry. For you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior. There's been a lot of different people born and a lot of different kings born and different things, but there ain't never been but one Savior born. Hallelujah. If there's two Saviors tonight, we might be in bad shape. But thank God they just won. Amen. And his name is Jesus. Glory to God. And when he was in that manger, he was the Savior of the world. Just as much as he was when he got grown. Hallelujah. You know what I think they said? One to another. As they went over there, I think they got to talking. And they said, did you pick up on what that angel said? He said, oh yeah, one of them did. And said, they said a baby would be born and laying over in a manger. But that other one said, yeah. But he didn't call his, he said his name is Jesus. But said the thing about was, he said he's going to be the Savior of the world. We're going over there to see the Savior. We're not just going over there to see a baby. We're going over there and see God in the flesh. Amen. We're going over there to see the Savior that's born in this world. Amen. Thank God. Amen. All they saw was a Savior. Did you know what? You can't be born but one time in this world. And you can't be born but one time in God's family. And the Savior was born one time in this world. Amen. And he called his name Jesus. Glory to God. Ain't no wonder that they said you need to rejoice and be glad. Amen. Because the Savior has arrived. Hallelujah. So they saw the Savior. But one day John the Baptist, he was a baptizing. And he looked down the road and seen somebody coming. And he said, I want you to look at him. Look how he walks. No doubt there are people that come out from everywhere. There's a multitude of people there. But old John said, there's one coming up the road. And said, when I looked at him, said something inside me told me that that's the Lamb of God. Amen. Call him the Lamb of God. I'm talking about what they saw. I mean, them shepherds saw a Savior, but John saw a Lamb. Amen. And one of these days, we're going to get to see the Lamb. By faith, we've saw the Savior, but by sight, we're going to get to see the Lamb. Glory to God. Ain't that right? I'm saying that John, he saw the Lamb of God, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God. And John said, he's come to take away the sin of the world. Amen. Them shepherds said, he's the Savior. But John said, he's going to take away the sin of the world. Praise God. I'm glad he is the Savior. I'm glad he is going to take away the sin of the world. Amen. Hallelujah. And that was so good, till the next day John preached it again. We preachers think we have to have something new every time we get up. But we listen to the same song every time we go to church. And then they gripe if we don't have something new to preach to them. I don't know anything better to preach than the Savior and the Lamb of God. Amen. If you can find something better than that, and you'll take me back after a while when the service is over, and take me aside and give it to me, I'll preach it this coming Sunday. If it's better than the Lamb or better than the Savior, but if it don't get beyond them, I may not look at it twice. Great God, I'm glad for the Lamb. I'm glad the Lamb was the Savior and the Savior was the Lamb. And great God, he got the job done for the glory of God. Hallelujah. If I was able, I'd shout, amen. Glory to God. Amen. Old John just said, I'm out here baptizing you under repentance, but there's one among you. Amen. Now listen to me. John, he said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And he said it the second time. And when he said it the second time, he lost some of his disciples. If he'd have been like average preacher, he'd have got mad. And he got jealous. Because he lost his disciples. And they become Jesus' disciples. It's getting quiet now, ain't it? Amen. But the thing about it is, he made so much of the Lamb. That's our job, is to get people to him. We ain't to point get people to us and start us. It's our job to get people to look at the Lamb and follow the Lamb. Great God, that's what our job is. Amen. Oh, we don't have to. Boy, I got to think about this the other day. I'm glad we can go to church or camp meeting or wherever, and we don't have to try to drum up something or try to find something to talk about or try to appease people. But thank God we got the Word and we got the Lamb and we got the Savior. Hallelujah. We got all we need to get anybody excited that wants to get excited about anything. Glory to God. Ain't that right? Amen. Hallelujah. He's the Lamb of God. And John said, he's going to take away the sin of the world. He come to take away sin. You'd say, well, how come it's sin's everywhere? I got to think about this for the night. It sure is. But as far as your soul's concerned, he took away that sin. And he'll never get there again. Because it's saved by the grace of God and sealed by the Holy Ghost. But one of these days, he's going to take away sin. And the glory of the Lord is going to fill the land. Did you know what Jesus prayed in John 17? He said, Father, I will that they be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory that I had with you before the world ever was. I think when we get to heaven, I think every way we look, we'll holler glory. Hallelujah. Amen. I think we'll get on with it up there, and I think we'll say, hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Oh, great God, it's going to be something like you ain't ever seen. It'll be His glory when we get up there. And we'll just look at that glory that He had with the Father before the world was. Ain't that right? Say amen, that's right. Under God, I'm glad. I'm glad for the Savior. I'm glad for the Lamb. But let me say right here, and then I'm going to talk about what the Father saw, what God saw. He saw the end from the beginning. Do you hear what I said? He saw the end from the beginning. Well, if he did, he must have seen everything in between. He must have seen us here tonight. Don't you reckon he did? Amen. Did you know what? Ain't never nothing ever took him by surprise, and he ain't never learned anything. And ain't nothing but what he's seen. He's seen everything. But he saw the end from the beginning. Amen. Ain't that right? And not only that, Lord, great God, did you know if we knew the end from the beginning, I got to think when they were singing that song a while ago about the landing's going to be safe. Glory to God. Boy, amen. In fact, God saw the church landing over there before it's ever started. Sometimes you get in these airplanes and you hope it's a safe landing. Sometimes you don't feel like it's going to be. But oh God, since He's going to be the captain, and great God, it's going to land just right. Amen. I don't make a Methodist shout. Hallelujah. We're going to arrive safe and sound, and there won't be no loss of none, and there won't be no injured one. Great God, we'll sit down over there, and it'll be all right. But God saw the end from the beginning. But not only that, I'm going to say He saw the cross. And I'll prove to you before I get through, He saw the cross. I think if I'd have been God, and I'm just saying if I'd have been God, I think when He's a creating the world, I probably wouldn't have made the mountain called Golgotha. I'd have probably bypassed that, because that's where my sons are going to be. Amen. But God saw it. He saw all of it. You need to listen to me preach tonight. He saw every bit of it before there's ever a world. Amen. He saw it all. Did you know what He saw? He saw them a trying Him and a making fun of Him and a mocking Him and lying on Him and a saying He's a son of Beelzebub and all them things. But Kenneth, before God ever made a world or God ever made a man, He saw them a treating His boy like that. Amen. He saw it all. And not only that, but He saw them scourge Him at the scourging block. I couldn't handle that. It took God to put up with that. Oh, Lord, I preached some time ago on the Lord stooping down, and He must have just kind of slumped down at the scourging block. Under God, they've about beat Him to death. Amen. I mean, listen. I mean, when they get through with Him, He don't even look like a man. Oh, I mean, brother, tonight, He went through all that. God saw Him scourge Him, and God saw Him nail Him to the cross, and God saw Him spit in His face. If I'd have been God when they spit in my boy's face, Kenneth, I'd have sent him to hell in a split second. But God's a God of love, and God's a God of mercy,
And God's a God of all grace. Hallelujah. Sure enough, we are here because of mercy and because of grace. We're to be in hell tonight. But God saw them doing that to his boy, and God didn't raise one finger or say one word. He knew before he ever sent him to this world that they'd do all that to him. But God sent him anyway how to save me and you and keep us out of hell. Hallelujah. I mean, years ago, did you know what he said in Psalms 22? He said, all my joints are out of socket. I mean, his little fingers had come loose, and every joint in his body has come out of socket. I'm preaching right. That's what he said. You know what he said? He said, I'm like a worm. You know what he's really saying? I ain't got no stability in my feet and legs. They're all, God, I'm about to, oh Lord, they're all out of socket and they're all out of joint. And I'm a smothering to death, but I can't push myself up because my knees and my hips are out of socket. Oh, we ought to be in hell tonight, but here we are saved by his grace, washed in his blood, kept by his power. Hallelujah to a holy God tonight. We're somebody going somewhere because God saw it all, but he let it happen anyway. Hallelujah to the God of heaven. And then I want to say, last of all, one reason I know he saw the cross. Now look up here and listen at me. He saw, let me back up a minute. Several years ago, my two boys fell off of a roof. They fell 32 feet from where they left the roof to where they hit the ground. I took different preachers up there and showed them where they fell, where they left up yonder, and where they what they hit on down here. Hard earth and rocks. And I said, God allowed them to come down. And God said, I'm going to let this much happen to you, but not anymore. Normally, it would have killed both of them. Amen. And Robin Coleman, she said, Daddy, she said, Tom and David fell off of a roof. And all we know is the rescue squad's going to get them. And we had to drive 20, 25 miles to the hospital. And I went by and picked my daughter and all up. And we cried all the way to the hospital and prayed and done all we knew to do. And we got to that emergency room. We had a hospital. We just went on in there. And when we got in there, Tommy took a lick in his head. And his crazy man, he didn't know nothing. His arm was broke. And David's hip was out of joint. And old David, he was climbing the walls. Boy, he couldn't handle it. And after a while, that doctor said, Mr. Carver, he said, I'm going to take David in the x-ray room and I'm going to x-ray him in there. And if I can, when I get through with x-raying him, I'm going to pop that joint, that hip back in socket. And so David said, Mama, your daddy won't go with me. And Phyllis said, Luther, you go with him. And I got in there and David said, Daddy, he said, tell the Lord to help me. The pain's so bad, I can't stand it. And that doctor said, Mr. Carver, I can't give him anything till I get through with all the x-rays. And David said, Daddy, tell Jesus, I can't stand it. Tell him to help me. Amen. You talk about, you don't try to impress God then and tell God how good you are and what all you've done, but you come before him. Oh, God, with a broken heart. That's my boy over there on that operating table. How was he getting those tests run? Amen. And boy, I cried to God and asked God to help him. And David would say again, Daddy, please tell Jesus to help me. I can't stand it. Man, I was about to come unglued. And that's why that doctor got through those x-rays. And he said, Mr. Carver, he said, I'm going to slide your boy down here in this table. And I'm going to pop that hip back in socket. And I thought, under God, the way he's suffering now, I can't handle it when he does that. And Kenneth, I turned my back and I wouldn't even look. And when he popped it back in, old David started laughing and talking. Amen. The pain was gone just like that. But I said, all that to say this, every joint in his body was out of socket. Oh, God. And he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? But not one thing would the Father do. Not one word would he say, or not one hand would he raise to try to help him. He let him hang on that cross with every joint in his body out of socket. Oh, God, you talk about the pain surging through his body, but God wouldn't do anything so many of you could be saved by his grace, washed in his blood, cleansed by his power, and become a child of God and are going to heaven one day after a while because we're saved by his grace. But finally, when God allowed him, in fact, the Bible said God made him to be sin. Stand up here, my brother. Did you know what? Stand right there. Did you know what God done? God literally made him to be what I was.
Oh my.
You hear me preach?
Oh, yes.
Every sin that's ever been committed or ever will be committed, God placed it on him.
Oh my.
And God made him to be sin that knew no sin. And when he becomes sin, God turned his back and wouldn't look. And the sun went out and wouldn't shine. Ain't that right? And finally, all that's happened so far is God's not satisfied. But God looks right down in the very innermost being of his son. And he sees the travail of his soul. That's the reason I know God saw Calvary. He looked inside of him, Kenneth, and he saw his heart broken. And he saw the travail of his soul. And God said, I'm satisfied. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whoopee, glory to God. I'm satisfied. I don't need another lamb. I don't need another sacrifice. Whoopee, I'm satisfied. Great God, I'm pleased with what he's done. He's paid the sin debt once and for all. We don't need another sacrifice. He's took care of the whole thing. Thank God he paid the debt for the world and for every sinner that's ever lived or ever will live. He paid all the sin of the world. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Ain't that right? Amen. Ain't it good to be saved? And God said, I'm not looking for another sacrifice. I'm not worried about any more blood that's been shed. In fact, I preached something about the last blood in the camp meeting, Brother Fred Potter's one time. And Lois Gale, a friend of mine, went back to West Virginia and wrote a song about the last blood. And the Kingsmen put it out, and the Inspirations put it out, I think, and it became number one. But she never did send me no royalty. Never. Boy, I need to say this right here. I hadn't thought about this before, but I wonder how many of us has sent God royalty. And how many of us have sent Jesus royalty because of what they done to keep us out of hell? I thought after I preached last night that we ought to remember when he saved us. And we ought to remember how good he's been to us. We ought to remember how he took care of us. Thank God walked with us and took care of us like we were little old babies. And we've done everything we, in fact, did you know he's a good God. He deserves to be praised. And the Bible said God gave his only begotten son. Hallelujah, that the world could be saved.
Amen.
But let me say right here then, I want to talk about what Jesus saw. What he saw was, Abraham saw his day. I'm going to get back to Abraham in a few minutes. But what Jesus saw, he saw his hour. 60 minutes, hour. Abraham saw a day, but Jesus saw an hour. Is that not what the Bible said? He'd say, my hour is not yet come. And then finally he said, my hour is arrived. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. He couldn't die just any time. He, and in just any day, he had to be the appointed day. He had to be the appointed hour. And in fact, he had to be the appointed minute and the appointed second that he would give up the ghost and die and pay the sin debt. But he saw his hour, and not only that, he saw Calvary. He saw everything going to happen there. But he came anyway. Before he ever become the seed and come in this world, he looked down the road because he's as much God as God is. And he looked down the road and he saw what this was going to do to him. Ain't no wonder he prayed in that garden till his sweat became as great drops of blood falling down the ground because he knew what that was going to do to him. And he knew he was going to have to become sin to keep me and you out of hell. Did you know what Jesus had to do? He had to make a choice. You know what they said? They said, when he's on the cross, save thyself and come down, and we'll believe in you, or whatever. But you know what? On that cross, he made a decision. Am I going to save myself? Preacher, what's your name? He said, or am I going to save him? Am I going to save myself or am I going to save Brother Price? And he chose to save you and stayed on the cross. Glory to God. Ain't that right? But he saw his hour and he saw Calvary. But what I really want to say about him is he saw beyond the cross. He saw the cross and all was going to happen there. And he saw him being buried and him getting up. But he'd been looking all the time beyond the cross. He saw you coming and getting saved. Who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross and despised the shame. Hey, no wonder the Bible said he's rejoicing in the presence of the angels. Kenneth, how old was you when you got saved? 22. Day or night when you got saved? Day? Look, I want to stand over just a minute. I'll show you something. Just stand right there a minute. And I want to invite you to come to me. Come over. Just take your time. Come over. But when he's 22, as somebody else said, Kenneth, I want you to come.
That's exactly right.
And when he saw you coming, he started rejoicing.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Yes, sir.
You be seated. He saw drunks are coming.
Oh, yeah.
He saw harlots are coming.
Yeah.
He saw good people are coming.
Yeah.
But everyone he's seen are coming. Coming from all walks of life. Some meaner than junkyard dogs. Oh, God, I mean, one fit for nothing. But he saw them a-coming. And when he seen them a-coming, he started rejoicing. Who for the joy that was set before him. He endured that cross and he despised the shame. But he done all that because he saw folks a-coming from every nation, every language, and every tongue. And he rejoiced to see them a-coming and a-getting saved. Old Ira Chapman's the greatest man that I've ever met in this life. And he's a missionary. And anyway, he's one, I don't know how many witch doctors he's won to the Lord. I'm serious about it. Grace. In fact, I tell folks, he's the Paul of our day. It's him. Man, I mean, can do about anything needs to be done. But anyway, him and his nephew was traveling through the jungles. And they're checking on the churches and seeing how people's are doing. And Brother Darrell said, when the sun goes down, if the moon don't come up just like that, you're in darkness. And he said they come to a village, and he said he told his grandson, or I mean his nephew, said, you go on to the next village and set up the camp, get ready for the night, and we'll spend the night there. But he said when he stopped at that village, there's a witch doctor there. And somebody that had got saved, and maybe some of Brother Darrell's people had won to the Lord, I was there. And that witch doctor said, preacher, he said, my wife wants to get saved. And he said, is it getting dark then? And old Brother Darrell said, I said, well, if you'll have her here at 8 o'clock in the morning, he said, I'll tell her how to get saved. And old Darrell said, the next morning at 8 o'clock, she was there. And Darrell said, I took the scripture, and I went through that scripture, and I told her everything I knew to tell her about the Bible and how to be saved. And it seemed like she couldn't get a hold of it. And old Darrell said, I finally knelt down on the ground, and I drew a circle. In the middle of that circle, I drew a cross, and I pointed at that cross, and I pointed towards heaven. And I pointed towards her, and I said, Jesus died on the cross for you. And if you'll accept him, he'll save you. And old Darrell said, never in my life have I heard anybody pray like she prayed. She told God everything she had ever done. And old Darrell said, when she finally got through, she looked up and she looked like she looked into heaven. And her face lit up. But the thing about it is, before he ever went to Calvary, he saw that old witch doctor's wife. Hallelujah. Are coming that day and they're getting saved. Ain't that right? I'm in under God. He saw everybody coming that's ever come and he rejoiced to see him coming. But let me mention this two or three more and I'll be finished. But the thing about it, now listen to me. In fact, this is the first time I've been here to preach in 20 years or longer, I guess. I might ought to preach till 12 o'clock tonight or maybe 2 in the morning. Maybe till tomorrow night. I'm just kidding. But anyway, I am glad to be here. When you get old as I am, you're glad to be anywhere. Lord God, I used to hear them people talk about how the ache and all them pains you had, and I thought, man, there's something wrong with that outfit. But now I got pains in places I didn't even know I had. My God, you talk about it. Amen. I better get off of that. But anyway, I'm trying to tell you tonight that he saw people coming and getting saved. I went to visit a man one night, and I hadn't thought about this in a while. Me and my wife, when I was pastoring Bethel Baptist Church, we stopped, and I'd been in his house once before. And that night when we walked in his house, walked in the living room, and I didn't really know him very well at all, he jumped up and ran in the kitchen. And I thought, boy, that's very unusual. And I said to his wife, is it all right if I go in there? And she said, it sure is. And so we went in there, and I didn't. He'd been in the hospital that day. In fact, he was about to have a nervous breakdown. But when I went in that kitchen, I smelt liquor on him. And I said, Harold, I said, what you need to do is to get saved. And boy, I started talking to him, and man, he got to trembling and crying. And I said, after a while, I said, Harold, I said, if I'd get down here on this floor and ask the Lord to save you, would you get in there and ask him to save you? And he said, sure will, preacher. And boy, Kenneth, he fell on the floor till it made so much racket. I wonder what our wife thinks is going on in there. I mean, it shook the house almost when he fell on that floor. And boy, we started praying. He started praying. A little while, we got up, and I said, Harold, did he save you? He said, sure did, preacher. Now look up here and listen to me. God being my witness, when he got up, I didn't smell no more liquor. I mean, even the sin of liquor's gone. Amen. Say, now, preacher, I can't believe that. I can't help what you believe. I'm just saying what I know about. Amen. And I said, Harold, did he save you? He said, sure did, preacher. I said, but he's about 60 years old. I said, would you come to church in the morning and tell him God saved you? He said, sure will, preacher. I'll be there. And boy, we left that night. We stopped by a guy's house. A friend of mine had cancer. And he said, preacher, where have you been? And I said, we've been out visiting. A man about 60 years old got saved. He's coming to church in the morning. Devil said, well, you know he won't be there. You smelled that liquor on him. You know good and well he didn't get saved. I said, devil, he got saved. He'll be at church in the morning. And that Sunday morning, boy, he come with a suit on. Amen. Amen. And we had a jubilee that Sunday morning, and I didn't give him no chance to say nothing. That's the truth. But the thing about it is, he come back at night. That's very unusual. Something must have happened to him. And that night, boy, God's a moving again, and his wife was standing that next door. She's kind of crippled-like. And I seen old Harold back there, and boy, he's about to go wild. He's about to come unglued. I thought I seen him push her out of the way, and Kenneth, he almost run to that altar. And he got me with both hands like this and said, preacher, I want to tell her I got saved. Preacher, I want to tell him I got saved. But the Lord saw him a-coming. One of the best treasures I've ever had in my life. Amen. And he's in heaven tonight. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But the thing about it is, he saw him getting saved. Let me say what Stephen saw. Stephen saw the Lord Jesus. They're stoning him to death. And Stephen said, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. He must have made it back up there safe and sound. Because Stephen saw him up there. The thing about it is, if you come to my house and I appreciated you and I loved you, I wouldn't just sit there when you walked in. But I'd get up and welcome you into my home. I think every time a young one of God goes home, I think he gets up. Glory to God. And I think he said, welcome in. I've been waiting for you to get here.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. In fact, I preached this somewhere or another, and somebody come up and said, preacher, I believe what he does is gets all the family members to come down at the gate. I said, preacher, why, it ain't like that. Well, you don't know. You ain't never been there. Amen. It might be greater than that. But Kenneth, it sure would be something. When I arrive on the other side, if he had mom and daddy and Robin Benji standing out the gate and say, come on in, daddy. Come on in, son. Well, while they'll be there, they're there. And while they be there at the gate or not, I don't know, but I will meet them. And we'll stroll over heaven, thank God. And it'll be all right, ain't that right? But he saw Jesus and he was standing at the right hand of the Father. Let me mention, boy, I was about to leave this out. I need to put this in right here. What that thief saw when he looked over at him, he saw a substitute. He said, he's taking my place. In fact, he ain't done nothing wrong. He's the sinless Son of God. And he said, since you're all that, Lord, if you don't mind it, would you remember me when you get to your kingdom? Do you know what that thief really said? You're dying, but you ain't going to stay dead. And somewhere down the road, you're going to have a kingdom. And when you climb up on that throne, would you mind thinking about me? And he said, I'll take care of that today. Glory to God. I'll think about you today. Amen. And said, I'll think about you on down the road. And when I get my kingdom, I'll still be thinking about you. He saw a substitute. But John the Revelator, he saw the rapture. He saw the rapture. But not only did he see the rapture, but he saw y'all in heaven. Boy, I'm going to drop a bomb right here. He saw some of y'all up there singing. Some of you shouting. Amen. Ain't I preaching right? And you was hollering, hallelujah. Glory to God. Worthy is the Lamb. You're going to get on with it one of these days. You ought to learn how to do it while you're down here. You ought to practice up a little bit. I tell men they ought to go out to the barn somewhere and holler, hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Praise the Lord. They ought to learn how to do it down here. Ain't that right, Kenneth? But the thing about it is we're just so proud. We got so much pride in our life. And we're so starchy. And we're about afraid to move. Afraid somebody will say something about us. But when you get up yonder and you're just like him, you get that glorified body. You're going to get on with it. And I'm going to say, I told you down yonder. That's your turn. Do a little of it down there. Amen. Yeah. Lord God, they used to shout till I mean it'd make the rafters ring about it. In fact, they used to do that around here. Yes, sir. I was preaching camp meeting up at Burt Marion one time up at Nebo, and there's a guy there, and boy, God come through that place, and man, I mean, there's a pole there, that thing is standing on, you know, and he went about 20 feet up that pole. He said, well, I'm preaching, I don't believe that. I can't help it if you're an unbeliever. Amen. Boy, I'm going to tell you right now, son, God's in that place, and God's here, and God's everywhere that people wants him to be. But he saw the marriage supper of the Lamb. He saw us getting married. Amen. Amen. That's right. And then he saw the marriage supper of the Lamb. Glory to God. Ain't that right? And he saw the millennial and saw all of it. And he saw you in it, enjoying God. It's how I'm afraid I can't make it. You can't. But you're going to get there if you're saved. In fact, I tell people if they didn't want to go to heaven, they ever thought about that before they got saved. Because they're going now. Amen. If you ever get on board, you can't get off. You'll say, well, I don't want to go anymore. It don't make no difference. I mean, you know, you'll say, well, I don't want to go to heaven. Well, if you're saved, you're going. But if you're saved, I know you want to go. Glory to God. But I ain't never seen him. But one of these days, preacher, I'll get to see him. Man, I think when we see him, I think we'll be like the Queen of Sheba was. We'll say the half's never yet been told. In fact, I guess for about the first million years, we'll just kind of camp around the throne, looking at him, saying, ain't he something? Ain't he something? Amen. And when we get married to him, Lord have mercy, it's going to be something. I think, you know, that they'll say, who giveth this woman to be married to this man? And the thing about it is, it ain't nothing but a bunch of old Gentile dogs. Wasn't fit for nothing but hell, but to have been washed in his blood, clothed in his righteousness. Glory to God. Everybody going to be robed in his righteousness. And we get married and we come up there and they say, who's going to give this wife to this woman to be married to this man? And I think the Holy Ghost will say, her father and I. Glory to God. He saw it all happening. It's all right. But I'm just talking about we'll get to see him. I never have saw him. I've seen, you know, I've been different places in this world and saw a lot of things that was something to look at. But I ain't never I ain't never saw him. Amen. I ain't never. Now, people talk about having visions and all that stuff and how they've seen the Lord. I don't believe that for a minute. I believe we walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. And I'm glad it's that way. Because if it was by sight, I'd be in trouble. But I'm walking by faith. Amen. And I'm preaching by faith. Trying to keep it going till it's time to leave here. Amen. But one of these days, thank God, we'll come to the end of the road. And we'll pull out of here and go home to be with God. And the landing's going to be safe and secure. And I think we'll get off of the old ship of Zion, march down the aisle, and we'll be singing, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Thank God. Amen. Saved by His grace, washed in His blood. But let me ask you a question. Tonight, what are you seeing? You know what? When we come to church, we're to come to see Him. Ain't that right? If you look around, you can see Him. But if you look around, you can see everything else too. If you want to. But we were to come to church looking for Him. Glory to God. He shows up down church. Ain't that right? Amen. There'll be somebody there that's got Him and has got Him living inside of them. And somewhere or another, they'll reflect Him. Amen. Glory to God. I'm telling you right now, we're to come looking for Him and get our eyes off of this world, the things of this world. Amen. And look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Glory to God. Let me ask you a question now. Piano player's going to come. Song leader's going to get a song ready. But I wonder tonight, let me ask you a question. If the Lord come tonight, how would it be between you and the Lord? After David fell off the roof and could have got killed. One day, me and David's riding down the road. And David, he sings in church, picks a guitar and picks a bass and stuff like that. But he never had, you know, he'd testify once in a while, but very, not much. And so one day the devil jumped on my back and he said, reckon if David had got killed when he fell off that roof, reckon how it had been between him and God. And so one day me and Dave was riding down the road and when I was pastoring you, Brother Kenneth, going back home on Sunday night, we got down in Cherville and David, he's about 10 or 12 years old, and he stood up in the floorboard of the back seat of the car and he said, Daddy, can you save me? I said, no. I can't, but I can tell you about one that can. Would you like to get saved? And old David said, yes, I want to get saved. I pulled over beside the road, and the cars are going both directions. And I told David what the Bible said about being saved. And he believed on the Lord in the backseat of that car. But me and David's riding down the road, and I said, David, I said, when you and Tommy fell off that building, if you hadn't made it, how would it have been between you and God? And his face got real red, and boy, a big old tear started running down his cheeks. And he said, Daddy, it'd have been all right. I said, David, when'd you meet him? He said, down yonder in Cherville, in the back seat of that car. Glory to God. And about 3 weeks later, him and his mother and his sisters are singing. And man, I heard something going on over in that corner like I ain't never heard before. You'd say, what happened? He went plumb wild. He lost it all. Amen. Say, what happened to you? I just got saved 3 or 4 times before you could turn around. Amen. Oh, I was kidding about that. But that ain't the only time I've ever heard him shout, amen. But the thing about it is, if you had to face God tonight, how would it be between you and the Lord? And I said last night, we have camp meeting to get close to God. We have camp meeting to get fired up. Get on fire for God, ain't that right? Amen. And then there might be somebody here tonight that's not saved. What a time to get saved. Did you know what? Now look up here and listen at me. When them Israelites was dying in that wilderness and them snakes had bit them, God said, put a pole up there. Put a brazen serpent on that pole and come to pass that whosoever looketh shall live. All they had to do is look and live. And if you look to Jesus, you can live and you can be saved. But if you neglect Him and put Him off, man, don't you know when that guy had that poison, that snake biting his body, and all of a sudden he's a dying, really? And all of a sudden he looked to that brazen serpent up yonder, and that fever left. Can't you see him jump up and down and say, I'm whole. Thank God I've been healed, amen. Oh, listen to me tonight. What a blessing it is to be saved. Just washed in His blood. a child of God to go into heaven when you die. Let's stand our heads bowed and our eyes closed.